If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 7. This is part of a longer passage, but for our purposes this morning, we're just going to read the first part, look at the first part of it today. Ephesians 3 and verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can speak to our hearts and to our lives. We can study it with confidence because we know it is true. You have given to us as your children your Spirit, which gives us extra light as we look to help us to understand and then to make the appropriate application. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your presence. We know you are here this morning. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just in reading this, I'm thinking that perhaps you're wondering, did Pastor start again in the right place? You know, we had Thanksgiving, and we had Christmas, and we had a couple of Sundays after Christmas. We've done some other things, and now we've come back to the book of Ephesians. And maybe as we read these first verses from chapter 3, you're thinking, I think we studied this already. I think Pastor's giving us some leftovers. But no, this is new material, but this is material that, yes, Paul has referred to. This is Paul's way of underlining, putting in caps, italics, truth that he says is, this is very important for you to know. It is so important that I am, in fact, repeating myself a bit. He says in verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, and we'll stop there for just a minute. When he says for this reason, it's just like when he says therefore. You got to stop and think, okay, well, what is this? What have we been talking about? Well, you've already heard it. It was our word this morning as we began from chapter 2 and verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The gospel, when it was originally presented, it was presented to Israel. It was presented to the disciples, the apostles, to the Jews who had met there in Jerusalem for Passover, who found out that Jesus was the final Passover, that he's the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. And so, initially the gospel was, well, the rest of the story to Israel. But later, they came to understand that when Jesus said that God loved the world, he meant the world. And that included the Gentiles. So for this reason, because we've come to understand that the gospel is so broad, that I am the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. If indeed, verse 2, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you. Paul is a Gentile. He's a Pharisee's Pharisee. Or he was. He loved rules. He loved keeping the rules. And he loved understanding that while he was in right standing with God, you surely weren't. But then he found out that that was not true when he met Christ. And so here this Jew's Jew, this Pharisee's Pharisee, has now found himself called to share the gospel to Gentiles. So let's repeat this, Ephesians 2 and 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus died for all men. Jesus' death upon the cross paid the penalty for all. And any who will come to that cross, Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave or free, whoever will come to the foot of the cross and ask forgiveness will receive it. God has never turned anyone away who has asked forgiveness. This morning, Paul refers to this as a mystery, and so it is in two stages. First, there is the fact of the mystery. Verse 3, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before. And he's referring to Ephesians 1 and 2. The notes say 2 and 3, but it bleeds here into chapter 3. But he's reminding that we've talked about this. God told me that this gospel, this message, needs to go out beyond Israel. So Paul's practice, he started in the synagogue. Remember, he's a Pharisee. He can walk in, be identified, and speak. He spoke in the synagogue until they would kick him out, which they always did. And then he went to the marketplace and preached the same gospel. There, sometimes there were Jews who responded, but more often than not, it was the Gentiles. They heard the same gospel. God loves you. Jesus died for you. And all you need to do is respond by faith to his grace. And sure enough, surprise, surprise, there were Gentiles who were responding to that truth and being soundly saved, evidence of which was the person of the Holy Spirit within each of them. So, verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Now, not mystery in the sense that God was wanting to hide anything. It's just that God liked to, well, we do this, and God just does it better because he's smarter. We tend to reveal or disclose things to people as they can understand. Our children, they'll ask a question, we give them an answer according to their age and their understanding. Do we tell them the whole truth? No. Do we tell them the truth? Yes, we should. Do we tell them everything? No, but we tell them what they can understand. And then there's, as they grow up, there's more to understand and more to understand. Those of you who came to Christ as a child, probably all you understood was that God loved you and Jesus died for you. And all you had to do was believe that Jesus loved you and died for you and accept him as your Savior. And he would forgive your sins and you'd go to heaven when you died. Because the gospel really is that simple. Is there more to it? Yes. Is there more to it that you wouldn't have understood maybe as a 5, 6, 7-year-old? Absolutely. Is there stuff that even now as a 64 and 65-year-old you don't quite understand? Yes, but that's okay. That will come too. That's what Paul's talking about here. We had all the information we had was true. We just didn't have it all because we wouldn't have understood it or fully appreciated it. Because, in fact, he says here in verse 5, in other generations it was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Now we can understand. Well, we understood that God chose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the sons of Jacob, and that became the nucleus for Israel, and God chose Israel as his people and all of that, and then God poured his blessing upon them and protected them. All of that we understand. But there was so much more to God's love. Oh, there were hints. We saw those when we looked through the genealogy in Matthew. Remember? There were some Gentile names in that list, remember? Because God's grace and his mercy even then extended beyond Israel. But God was mostly dealing with Israel. And so when the Christ came, the Messiah came, it was assumed that salvation was for Israel. But now God has revealed, Paul says, to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, the rest of the story. The mystery is revealed. We get to the end of the book and we see it better, more clearly, specifically, verse 6, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, you remember, Peter was the first witness to that. Peter was a Jewish Jew. And remember, after the resurrection, after the ascension, after God had been using Peter and the other apostles to just spread the gospel all throughout Jerusalem, Peter got a call to go to a Gentile. There's a Gentile down the road that needs to hear the gospel. Peter's wondering about that, and in that call, he sees a sheep with all kinds of animals in it, with all kinds of food, and is told, eat. Peter, being a Jew, says, I can't do that. There's stuff there I can't have. And God says, you got to learn something here. I'm trying to tell you that things have changed. I've spent all this time concentrating on Israel. Now it's time for you to understand that my great love extends beyond that. There's a Gentile down the road that needs to hear the gospel. So Peter goes and shares it with Cornelius and his family. What happens? They believe. He had to go back to Jerusalem and explain himself. Because the guy said, I don't know. I can't understand it myself. I went. I shared the gospel. This guy believed it. And his family. And they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And they evidenced that. What was I supposed to do? And James and the others slowly started to understand that there was more to this story, that the mystery is revealed, that God's love, his grace, is extended to all. So he says in verse 7, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. It reminds us of God's great power. He's not limited. He used a nation to represent him. He used a nation to produce the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, but not to isolate it, but to begin it there. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, has been offered to all. And all, some of all, have responded. Understand, a Jewish-only salvation would add an element of human effort or entitlement. I'm a son of Abraham, therefore I deserve to be saved. I'm a Jew. I have kept the law. I deserve to be saved. Instead, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Remember that from Ephesians 2 and 10. This has nothing to do with who you were, who you are, what you have done. Now, there's a sense in which we could dismiss this. This is a Jew-Gentile thing, and we're all Gentiles. And yes, we're all thankful that Jesus died for all. That's true. But we could kind of dismiss this and say, this is ancient history. We've already crossed this bridge. But you could be tempted to think, well, you know, my grandmother was a founding member of this church. My mother taught Sunday school in this church near forever. Every time the doors are open, I'm here. I'm entitled. I've put forth a great deal of effort. Well, I'm not going to tell you I've earned my salvation. But I am going to tell you I was a good pick. My friends, that has nothing to do with grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Am I thankful that the gospel includes Gentiles? Absolutely. I'm even more thankful that it included me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to remind us of your great grace. You've given us what we did not deserve. You offered to us what we could never earn or be entitled to. And all you ask is that we respond by faith. To believe the unbelievable, the God of the universe, the creator of all, would choose to repair the relationship between himself and his creation through the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. By faith alone in Christ alone, we can have eternal life. And we are thankful. We thank you in Jesus' name.